BioShock, Part 4.
And there it was. Finally, after all the pain and threats and loss and death, I finally get an audience with the main guy, the one in charge of the House of Cards, the Greed Belt. You know something, Ryan? After walking through this place of yours and hearing all the praise you've heaped upon it, I have only one real question. Tell me, Andy, if this place is so darned fantastic, why is it falling apart?
Because of people like you. The parasites, the ones who betrayed Rapture.
People like Fontaine? I could practically see the smug look on his face as he said.
Precisely.
So it's his fault that you created a city for men and women who didn't want to let morals or laws get in the way of doing what they want to do and become rich doing it. You made selfishness and greed into virtues, Ryan, not him. You tilled the soil for him, and all he did was set up a farm.
I invited people who were interested in industry, not crime.
I've got a news flash for you, Ryan. Crime is an industry. It may not be one you like, but it follows the same rules. Honestly, Ryan, if you didn't want people like Fontaine to show up, you shouldn't have rolled out the red carpet for him. I felt tired sitting down. Ryan, all the things you hate, governments, morality, altruism, any one of those would have helped to keep all this from happening.
Sophistry. You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that dismissive tone. Used by all men in charge who think that just because they're smart, everyone else is stupid. Then let me explain. I know why you built this place. You wanted to have your cake and eat it too. You didn't want to have to pay taxes to a government. You didn't want to tithe to a religion. You didn't want to hand over your hard-earned money to people who didn't work for it. How am I doing so far?
So far, you've managed to somehow comprehend the obvious. I assume you're leading up to something of more importance.
Yeah. I read about you, Ryan. I went to school to be an engineer, and your history was part of the curriculum. I know about how you escaped Russia when you were a kid. Tell me, the people that helped you, how much did you pay them? When you booked passage on the ship that got you to America, did you get a room or a bunk, or did you stow away? When you got to America, how many of the opportunities you received were worked for, and how much of it was given to you because people acted out of compassion?
If you're trying to get to the point, Jacobs, I suggest you get to it soon.
Everybody, everyone at some point in their lives needs to depend on other people for help. It's how things work. Even if it's not on a personal level, we're a naturally social creature. We all have bad spots, and we all have to deal with imperfect systems. Social structures aren't like machines. If a part doesn't work, you replace it with one that will and a machine. But people are different. And no matter what you want, they're all going to be in situations that are going to need help from others. You rejected that idea. But that didn't make that idea untrue, and Fontaine banked on that. As much as you hate the government, you cannot run a complex social system with a polite anarchy. There have to be rules so people know they'll be held accountable for their actions. There have to be leaders, otherwise people won't know who to look to for guidance. There have to be people who manage fundamental needs like roads, getting rid of garbage, maintaining security.
We have businesses that maintain security.
Ryan interjected. Yeah, for those who can afford it. And that security will only remain loyal as long as someone doesn't pay them more. So if these people are paid by government, they don't have that kind of competition. And these services have expenses, so you have to tell people, look, keeping your home safer, your roads clear, and getting rid of your garbage costs money, so you need to pitch in if you want to keep using those services. Look, I'm not telling you that democracy is perfect. It's got flaws. But as Winston Churchill put it, it's been said that democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others that have been tried. Democracy suited the Greeks, and America hasn't self-destructed in over 100 years. Look at this place after just 14 years. It's on the verge of breaking the Guinness World Record for biggest aquarium. And people want leaders, Ryan. They want to have people representing them and working on their behalf. You can still do it, Ryan. Stop this. Become the leader your people have always wanted to follow, instead of being forced to follow. Silence from the other end. With any luck, he's thinking about what I said. Maybe he's actually going to change his tune, and it's taken him a really long time to answer. I'm an idiot. I pack up my stuff fast and get my guns out of the pneumo. Ryan, I would love to stay right here and wait for you to come up with an answer, but I get a feeling you're just waiting for reinforcements to get here, so if you'll excuse me, I gotta see a man about a horse. I stopped and thought about how much Ryan would know about Fontaine's operations, and if he was listening all this time, he probably guessed how to get to the dock, namely the way I came in. I look around to see what I need as Ryan continued.
It was amusing letting you prattle on about your ridiculous and flawed belief systems, but I have resisted the siren song of the parasites for years, listening to them make much more persuasive speeches than yours. When my people come for you, tell them your fairy tales. Maybe they'll be more likely to be fooled. But I doubt it.
I heard the faint yelling and screaming echoing down the tunnel from the fisheries. I gave them 3 minutes before they get here, at the most. I wedged the flare into one of the two groups of gas tanks, 3 on one side, 4 on the other, all just out of sight of the people coming down that corridor. I light the flare, load an armor-piercing round into the pistol, and then run to the other side of the chamber, where another passage led to somewhere else. Because in just over a minute, any place would be better than here. You know, Ryan, you shouldn't be so critical of fairy tales. I read something by G.K. Chesterton once. Now I was trying to keep him distracted. Fairy tales that are not responsible for producing in children fear, or any of the shapes of fear. Fairy tales do not give the child the idea of the evil or the ugly. That is in the child already, because it is in the world already. Fairy tales do not give the child his first idea of bogey.
On and on you babble. Would it hurt you that deeply to make sense once in a while?
Oh, I'm not finished, Ryan. The screams and yells were getting louder. They were close, and there were many of them. He goes on to say, what fairy tales give the child is his first clear idea of the possible defeat of bogey. The baby has known the dragon intimately ever since he had an imagination. What the fairy tale provides for him is a Saint George to kill the dragon. Exactly what the fairy tale does is this. It accustoms him for a series of clear pictures to the idea that these limitless terrors had a limit, that these shapeless enemies have enemies in the knights of God, and there is something in the universe more mystical than darkness and stronger than strong fear. I had to memorize those lines once in a bit. Now I'm glad I did.
Why?
Ryan asked me as the first of the troop of splicers poked their heads into the submarine dock. I smiled to myself. Now I know for certain who the dragon is. And I fired. The explosion not only took out the splicers, but caused a partial collapse of the tunnel leading in from the fisheries. My ears were ringing as I left the dock, heading up the other tunnel to wherever it would take me. I wasn't sure what was up that way, but I knew it wasn't where I came from, and the air coming from it was fresh. If I didn't know better, I could have sworn I smelled flowers. Looks like I didn't know better after all. I walked out of the tunnel into a garden. Real grass, real ivy, even trees. I looked up at the neon sign to see the words, Tea Garden. There were a couple of benches nearby, positioned strategically for romantic seclusion. 2 sliding doors built into the side of a wall, hopefully leading to other areas of this place, although I could think of better places to pack it in, spending some time laying on some grass before finding myself on the other side of it. As if on cue, I heard Songbird's voice on the radio.
Jacobs?
Now this place was perfect. Hey there, Songbird. I can't tell you where I am, thanks to the madness of King Ryan, but it's not that bad a place.
Are you all right?
Nothing that a year in the tropics couldn't fix. Maybe with a psychiatrist. I sat up, sighing. Summer was over all too soon. Look, I can't talk to you right now, not with Ryan listening in on everything.
I know. Listen, if you can get to a pneumo, I can send you something that'll help. If you are where I think you are, then you're someplace close to one of the few pneumos that service that area.
Yeah? And tell me where I am.
You're in Arcadia. Ryan's underwater forest.
Forest? There's an entire forest here?
Of course. Where did you think all the air in Rapture comes from? The oxygen fairy?
But how do they get him to keep growing?
Ryan's geneticists used Adam to alter the plants, so they require less sunlight. And his engineers developed a kind of incandescent light bulb that mimics the solar energy needed to keep the plants alive. They even simulate day and night.
I sat there, probably looking as thunderstruck as I felt. Okay, well, what do I need to do?
You need to find Professor Julie Langford's office. She's in charge, since she's the one who planted the forest down here to begin with.
Wait, don't you need bees to keep plants pollinated?
Oh, they have bees.
I could practically hear the grin on her face through the radio. Oh, of course they do. My head was spinning. I was about to ask for more details when I heard someone calling out, "Hello? Can you help me, man? Can you help? Criminy, there's someone else trapped down here? Stay safe, Songbird. I'll contact you soon."
Don't worry. I'm not going anywhere.
I put the radio back on my belt and called out, "Hang on," as I rushed toward the voice. I got to the store and I heard him again, more desperate this time. "Jesus, God, is somebody there?" When I opened the door, I saw a figure ahead of me. He took one look at me, then ran to the right down an ivy-covered hallway. I ran after him and... gone? I stopped and looked down the hall. Did I imagine him? I moved further down, no longer distracted by the plants and flowers around, hearing footsteps, seeing shadows of the guy. But as soon as I ran toward him, he was gone. No trace of him. Wait, not exactly. Right after each time I catch sight of him, there's this short sound like a rush of air, and another sound I couldn't identify. Closest thing I could compare it to was the sound of newspaper being crushed in one fast motion. "Hey, are you hurt?" I called out, but I had a bad feeling this was one of the residents of Rapture playing games with my head, and I couldn't figure out how he was doing it. I moved forward through the maze of the area when I finally caught sight of him. "Over here!" he yelled, then took off, then hung a right. I managed to keep sight of him until he made the next right. When I made the turn, I didn't see him at all, and it was a dead end. The only thing I saw was what looked like little pieces of red paper dissolving in midair, and a workbench at the far end had a mask on it that looked like it was made of sticks. I pulled my shotgun and walked to the mask, picking it up. As soon as I did, I heard that sound again, and the hairs on the back of my neck stood at attention. I spun around just in time to see him right behind me. I was so startled I forgot I had my shotgun out. By the time I remembered I had it, he said, "Hello, beautiful," then started to glow red, then broke up into a fine red mist, which then vanished completely. Great. New plasmid, new kind of splicer, new way to die. Okay, new plan. This guy likes playing hide and seek, but maybe he'll smile for the camera. It's a good thing light moves faster than bullets. I chased after him, realized that he stayed in sight long enough to lead to where he wanted me to go, but in doing so, he exposed himself long enough for me to get some snapshots with the research camera. And that told me a lot. Looking at the pictures between dashes showed that when he disappeared, he literally exploded into a cloud. The pictures illustrated that when he reappeared, the effect was like an explosion in reverse, which meant that if I was alert and looked for the cloud to reform, I'd know exactly where he'd show up before he had a chance to react. That, and a few liberal applications of electric buckshot did in that wannabe Harry Houdini. Well, that name for this splicer rolled off the tongue a lot better than Mr. Disappearing and Reappearing Splicer. I made a note in the camera to classify him as a Houdini splicer, because the way this week was going, I knew I was going to see a lot more of these jokers. At least his place was a whole lot nicer to look at. Fresher smelling, too. I used another Eve hypo. Atlas told me about using plasmids, but I kept talking the idea down, and it was easy to do. Until I found another gatherer's garden. I didn't even want to see what they had available, at least that's what I kept telling myself. Until I found newer versions of Electrobolt. More powerful versions. And I had Adam to spare. I heard loud footsteps and ducked behind some foliage, just in time to see a big daddy come down the hall, a little sister right next to him. Before I started pondering what to do next, that decision was taken out of my hands. A group of 5 splicers jumped the big daddy, attacking it with guns and pipes and fiery incinerate plasmid bolts, and for a second it looked like they had a shot at getting what they wanted. Then the big daddy started using its rivet gun and throwing those proximity mines about. Problem was, they weren't in a wide open space like the other areas I'd been in. When those mines started going off, not only did it take out the splicers, but the damage backlashed on the Big Daddy, too. Ironically, the little sister was the safest one there due to how fast she regenerated damage. After it was over, the Big Daddy was seriously hurt, steam hissing from fissures in its armor. Didn't take much to put him down, and as soon as I could, I sent the little girl on her way without her stomach-dwelling parasite. Made me feel pretty good. Then I saw the gatherer's garden machine, and that warm feeling went away fast. I walked up to it and looked again at the upgrade. I already had the plasmid. I was just adding to it. It wasn't like I was loading up on gene tonics or other plasmids. It was just an upgrade. That's all. And after that, that was it. No more messing around with my DNA. No more juicing up. No more injecting some witch's brew into my veins. No more. I'm stopping here. I put in the required atom, had the plasma delivered in a handy injector. I picked it up and looked at it. Just one more, and that's it. I took a deep breath. I felt like I was shaking hands with Satan. I was prepared for the reaction, the warmth as it spread through my body. I expected it to feel good, but I didn't expect it to feel that good. I think I closed my eyes. I don't remember much of what happened for a few seconds. When I opened my eyes, I felt stronger. I felt like I was going to throw up. I lost a few minutes hiding myself away in a crawl space. My only company, 2 corpses, a man and a cat, another heave hypo and a shotgun. I never felt so low in my life. Feet of clay, after all. I was 5 tiers away from using that shotgun on myself when I heard her. Songbird.
Mark?
She asked, and I thought my heart would tear itself apart. I didn't answer. How could I?
Mark, are you there?
I don't know who moved my hand to the radio to activate it because I didn't think it was me. I'm here.
Thank God.
The relief in her voice was as unexpected as it was enthusiastic.
I thought I'd lost you.
Don't tell her the truth. Don't tell her what you really want to say. Don't show her how weak you are right now. Don't tell her how much you want to go home right now. She's counting on you. Those little girls, they're all counting on you. Don't you dare take that hope away from them, or you'll make Frank Fontaine look like somebody that should be fitted for wings and a harp. I can't get rid of me that easily. I checked the shotgun in front of me. Empty. I took that as a sign and tossed it aside and grabbed the Eve hypo. Get to your feet, damn it. You can give up and die later.
How close are you to Langford's place? Wait, forgive me. That must sound stupid. You don't know Arcadia. You just got there.
I cut her off. I'm close. I'm almost there. I can feel it. I moved out of the crawl space, standing up. I'm coming, Songbird. I didn't hear a response at first, and for a moment I wasn't sure what to expect. And I heard it. Crying.
Thank you, Mark.
She said in a slight hiccuping voice. That cinched it. I wiped my eyes. I didn't care if Ryan threw every Big Daddy in rapture at me. I started toward where Langford's office was supposed to be. Just keep picking him up and putting him down. I reached an area called the Rolling Hills and found a few more audio voxes with more telling impressions about life here in Rapture. A woman distressed about how her daughter thought trees were monsters since she'd never seen trees before. I looked around and I heard Ryan on the radio.
On the surface, I once bought a forest. The parasites claimed the land belonged to God and demanded that I establish a public park there. Why? So the rabble could stand slack-jawed under the canopy and pretend that it was paradise earned. When Congress moved to nationalize my forest, I burnt it to the ground. God did not plant the seeds of this Arcadia. I did.
I couldn't help but respond. One day, a group of scientists planned to send a messenger to God, telling him they didn't need him anymore, that they could do everything he could. God told the messenger, well, if you feel that way, let's have a contest. You and I will both create something, and I mean truly create it. First person to complete a full-grown tree wins. The messenger, eager to prove his intellectual superiority, started collecting dirt for the seed when God said, hold it. That's cheating. You have to do the same thing I did. You've got to make your own dirt. You couldn't have created all this, not on your own, and not from nothing. So spare me the elitist attitude, Ryan. I'm not buying what you're selling.
I came to this place to build the impossible. You came to rob what you could never build, a Hun gaping at the gates of Rome. Even the air you breathe is sponged from my account. Well, breathe deep, so later you might remember the taste.
What are you? I asked, then stopped as I heard a hissing sound coming from the vents. I covered my mouth and nose with a cloth, looking around for a place to hide from the mist coming from above me. That's when I saw the leaves of the trees turning brown, vines and plants withering visibly. The dirty yellow chemicals stopped coming from the vents, settling on the ground, the grass turning yellow. Andrew Ryan, you son of a bitch. Looks like I'm going to have to pick up the pace. It wasn't easy, but I managed to make it through. Apart from turrets and other hazards, I found there were a group of splicers hanging out near Langford's place, decorating their cave with primitive fetishes and scarecrows made out of twigs. Looks like someone went native. I found her office, or should I say lab, which had a security camera covering it. I hacked the camera just to be sure I wouldn't have those security gyros chasing after me, then went up to the door, looking for a doorbell. As I did, I saw a double set of pressure doors, one looking pretty reinforced, and a pneumo. I opened it up and found a small device inside. With any luck, this'll keep my talks with Songbird private. As I attached the device, a pair of screens lit up, showing a woman's face. She was younger than I expected her to be. Not bad looking, if you can forgive the stern expression.
My trees! It wasn't you, was it?
I thought about saying something sarcastic about how I was, because I really wanted to stop being an oxygen junkie, but she said,
no. Ryan! Listen, whoever you are, I need your help. Arcadia's on lockdown now, and if you don't want to become a permanent resident, you must help me.
Easy, Langford. What's the plan?
Oh, you're not one of those spliced-up morons, are you? Pay attention. I think I've got a way to save the trees. It's a genetic vector that... Ugh, look who I'm talking to.
Hey, I've got an education. And a name, thanks.
Look, just find a sample of Rosa Gallica for me. Look in the waterfall grotto. I've got to keep working while there's still time.
Right. Why is it that I'm perpetually fetching things for other people? I muttered.
Because you're one of the few people left with brain cells still rattling around between your ears, my dear boy. You've seen the others. Would you trust them with a bucket of urine, much less a rose?
You know, being that smug is unbecoming.
And yet somehow I can live with that.
I smiled a little in spite of myself. Okay, maybe she wasn't all bad. Waterfall grotto, covered with flowers and vines, very scenic. If you ignored the tripwires that made the hairs on my arms stand on end as I got close, and the security camera and turrets, this was going to get tricky. Getting past the tripwires was easy enough. All I had to do was move along the ground as low as I could, but the turret and the camera had to keep jolting both to keep them both pacified. And took a round in the leg from the turret of the bottom level I didn't see coming in, which meant that I had to jolt that turret too. Caught three ways from Sunday. My heart hammered in my chest as I took care of them one by one. By the time I was done, I was down to where I needed to be, and out of med packs. Still had Eve. I looked around the bottom level of the grotto, wading through shin-deep water. Fresh water, but still cold. And then I found it. It was perfect. A flawless red rose, in the peak of health, in the middle of a cold and dark place, no business being able to grow. This had to be the Rosa Gallica. As I reached for it, I heard far-off sounds yelling. Wait. Ryan. He must have had Langford's place bugged, which meant he knew I was coming here. This place was a trap. I'm down on resources. And if Ryan heard that Langford's working against him, she's in more danger than I am. I've got to help her. I looked around, saw the pool in front of me, and I started getting ideas. If they want a fight, they'll get one. I listened for the first few sounds of the tripwires being snapped, hearing arcs of electricity as the first wave of splicers short-circuited themselves, trying to come down to the stairs. Those that survived ran into the firing arc of the first of the turrets. Geez, how many did Ryan send? It sounded like half a rapture's coming to the grotto. I stepped back, staying within sight of the pool at the bottom of the grotto, waiting for them to jump down into the pool and brave the second turret. I wasn't disappointed at some of the more sturdy ones jumped down into the pool, and I lit them up like Times Square on New Year's Eve. It seemed like forever before the noises stopped. I ran up the stairs, ignoring the bodies. Worst came to worst, all those beautiful flowers and plants would have plenty of fertilizer. As I crossed the threshold of the grotto, I saw the big daddy I'd taken out and remembered what it could use. I had to work fast. For all I knew, Langford was dead already. I bolted in the office, impatient for the doors to open. They're too damn slow. Come on, come on, I muttered as I ran through the lab, hearing voices. Langford and Ryan's.
Julie, we made a business deal, you and I, did we not? Money changed hands. Let me read you from the agreement.
She was alive, but knowing Ryan, he loved to hear the sound of his own voice right before making a point, so I didn't have much time left. I checked the layout. Reinforced glass, reinforced door. Probably able to handle pretty damn near anything, but I wonder if they bothered to reinforce the wall. Let's see how well it stood up to a cluster of proximity mines.
Section 3, subsection 4,
Ryan went on casually.
Ryan Corp maintains exclusive rights to the creation, use, and exploitation of the Lazarus Vector.
I placed the mines and Julie noticed me outside. Take cover! I yelled, backing up and moving around a corner, taking out the shotgun as I heard a deep hissing sound. I counted three, praying Langford wasn't in the blast radius, and fired an electric buck at the mines. The explosion was deafening, and once again my ears were ringing. I took a deep breath and ran in through the large gap in the wall, found Julie, picked her up, and ran out through the clouds of wet gas. As I got out, she slapped my shoulder and pointed down the hall. I figured she knew what she was talking about and beat feet as directed to find a foursome of glass chambers. What? I gasped when I could hold my breath no longer.
Decontamination showers! Quickly!
I nodded and put her down, at which point she began to strip her clothes off and... Right, I started taking my own off.
Hurry up! This is no time for modesty! The gas is most effective when inhaled, but it will still kill, although much more slowly if absorbed through the skin.
Right, how do you know that? I asked as I got into the shower and turned on the faucet. Jeez, it's cold!
I created it.
I heard a corresponding hiss from her as she felt the cold water rubbing herself all over. I did the same.
Don't worry, the water's fresh and from a storage tank. Ryan can't turn it off.
I turned to make sure my back was rinsed, which put me in full view of Julie Langford. And likewise. I tried not to look at how feminine she was and realized she had a good look at me, too. I moved my hands down quickly to cover myself. Julie laughed.
Relax, whoever you are. I am a doctor, after all.
You're a botanist doctor. I turned around to make sure my front was completely cleaned off, then turned off the water, my teeth chattering. Fortunately, there were towels nearby. A little rough, but I didn't care much. Got a fire around here so I can use.
Right this way. You warm up while I get some clothes.
Probably should wash off my gear, too. Why aren't you shivering?
Long hours of practice. I've dealt with a lot of different chemicals, and besides, I'm used to the cold. And there's no need to clean your belongings. The chemicals become inert 9 minutes, 38 seconds after initial exposure. Just don't touch anything.
She directed me to a gas fire in the pillar in the middle of the room and pointed to a chair.
Have a seat. I'll be right back.
I sat down, wrapping the towel around my shoulders and holding my hands to the fire. It didn't take her long to come back fully dressed, and she tossed me some clothes. A suit. Something that looked durable.
Here, this should fit.
Thanks. I felt much warmer now, and the new clothes helped. They actually fit reasonably well.
I should thank you. You saved my life. Although I'm amazed you were able to get through. The window and the door should have been impregnable.
They were. But the wall was just your average, ordinary wall. Julie stared at me and started laughing.
Oh, my. Oh, dear. Oh, my dear boy, I take back half the derogatory things I've said about you.
Only half? I just saved your life.
That was 20 minutes ago. What have you done for me lately?
I stared at her. You are one harsh scientist, you know that?
I get that way when people try to kill me.
She went to a desk and sat down.
I've been hearing about you the past few days.
Days? Feels like weeks since I came here.
I've listened in on a conversation or two. You're smart, an idealist, and a survivor. Three qualities I need in a person if we're going to save Arcadia. Not to mention ourselves.
She handed me a list.
Get these items for me, and we can bring everything here back to life.
I packed up my supplies again, checked my gear and weapons, and searched the lab. A few caches, a couple of vending machines, and a nearby UN vent helped make sure that I was better prepared for what I had to do next.
Good luck,
she said as I walked to the door. Yeah, I'll need it. All right, time to focus. I now knew what Langford needed, and all I needed to do was collect it. Distilled water, chlorophyll, and honeybee saliva. The oddest and the most important scavenger hunt of my life. Okay, I needed a map. Fortunately, if this is the social spot it's supposed to be, then there has to be a public map somewhere. If only to show the tourists where not to go. As I searched the office, I found a vial with a deep green color. Chlorophyll. It was even labeled. Thank you, crazy scientists. You're at least sane enough to mark your substances. Now, if I run across any other samples, I can make sure they're the right ones by the color. I check my supplies. This office is pretty secure, so it might be safe enough to cache some equipment here. Free up some room in the old pack and on my belt. Might want to put aside some of this hardware, stuff that I don't have a lot of ammo for. Just dead weight at this point. If that other guy were here, probably wouldn't have had as much trouble with this stuff. Guy was built like a linebacker, probably could have carried everything he decided to pick up. Me? Not so much. Okay. Got my gear, got a goal. I sniffed the air. It smelled like acid, and that was only going to get worse the longer I waited. I opened the door and went outside to find the bodies of three splicers waiting for me. Seems the camera I hacked was already giving dividends. I searched them, picked up some odds and ends, and set about my task. Farmer's Market, here I come. Getting there was not half the fun. I knew as soon as I left the Rolling Hills that Ryan was on the prod for me. More splicers had shown up searching for me, and they were using incinerate like it was going out of style. I still hadn't figured out how Ryan was able to control these people, and he was forcing me to kill them to survive. I was really starting to loathe Ryan. I drew out my shotgun and went to work, finding some gas tanks to use as room clearers, finding security cameras and hacking them. Then I let them know I was here. They came at me like starving animals, no sense of tactics whatsoever. One of them had his own security bot following him around, and all I had to do was take him down and hack the bot, making his asset mine. From that point on, it was a matter of pointing and telling the bot to fetch to clear the entrance to the farmer's market. Killing splicers wasn't bothering me as much as it used to, even when I reminded myself that I should have been bothered more. I kept reminding myself that they were doing as ordered, that this was war, and I didn't start the fighting. Ryan did. That made that accusing voice harder to hear, but it didn't silence it. Don't get cocky. The only reason you're not getting killed is that these people aren't thinking straight. They've got all the strategic power of a school of piranha. When they start thinking straight, be ready. Be ready. Right. I came out into the farmer's market, and the first thing that hit me was the smell. It was clear that the produce had gone south months ago, and food was literally rotting on the vine. That brown crap Ryan was sending through the vents wasn't exactly helping matters much either. As I came out to the market, harsh and bitter experience had taught me to come into new areas quiet and low. As it turned out, it was a good idea. I heard yelling and saw a young man in a football uniform running past the entrance area. And the sound of a rocket turret delivering a really hard forward pass at the player. I covered my ears as the rocket tackled the player, bringing him down for good. Figured. The shops were set up with security to prevent them from being robbed. There were probably turrets and cameras everywhere. I smiled. Things were actually going my way for a change, as long as I was careful. With no shopkeepers to cause problems, I just needed to hack the local security, and I could set up a safe area for me to use. Yeah, well, don't get too safe. One of those rocket turrets throws a bone at a bad guy next to you, and you'll find out the rockets will take you out just as collateral damage. And St. Peter has probably already received his daily quota of people showing up to say, "I got stupid" as cause of death. Wasn't as easy as I thought, of course. The security was hackable, but harder than before to circumvent. The people installing them also were thoughtful enough to set up a crossfire, designed to prevent exactly what I was trying to do. Fortunately, I was able to move some of the metal trash cans and other barriers so I could remain protected. I can just imagine that if I ever got out alive and managed to apply for a job on the surface, I'll have no trouble responding if the interview asks me if I excel under pressure. However, I don't think I can put, quote, "subverting security in a city on the ocean floor governed by psychopaths," unquote, on a resume. Once I was done, I moved behind a counter and took a breather. I'd been using the electrobolt plasmid so often I felt like I just ran a marathon. I loaded up on Eve until I thought my blood would glow blue and used a med pack to handle all the stray shots. As I did, I suddenly felt panicky because my skin looked rubbery all of a sudden. I frantically checked it over again, but it was fine. You picked a fuck of a time to freak out, buddy. He who loses focus becomes fish food. I need to talk to somebody. I need to remind myself why I was doing all this. I pulled out my radio, then clicked the mic a couple of times. Songbird, you out there? It took a lot more time than I felt comfortable with before I heard her voice.
Mark?
Ah, jeez, it sounds like I pulled her out of a sound sleep. It's me, Songbird. Did I wake you?
It's fine. I don't exactly have a lot to do with my time nowadays.
Where are you? Are you safe?
I'm in one of Fontaine's department stores.
Department stores?
Yes, they're in a separate building that was attached to Rapture up until Fontaine was taken down and took on the role of Atlas, but before Atlas had a chance to escape. As punishment and out of spite, Ryan forced all the dissidents into the building and then sunk it. Fortunately, the building's crush depth was never reached, so everything in it was safe. Trapped, but safe.
Well, how'd they get out?
One of the stores sold private bathyspheres, although that part seemed to have been lost in the inventory sheets. Most of his troops were still in Rapture, waiting for the signal to attack.
New Year's Eve, 1959. Where were you while all this was going around?
Taking care of an old debt. I managed to succeed, but ended up on the wrong side of Atlas. I was forced to help him get something he wanted. After he got what he wanted, he hurt me. Nearly killed me. Mark, are you there?
Yeah, just trying to think of a way to respond to the idea of someone doing that to you that doesn't make me sound like a psychopath. Not succeeding.
Mark, you barely know me. I'm just a voice to you.
Yeah, well, not for long. Wait, you said he nearly killed you. Are you all right?
I healed up. I'm fine.
I stared at the radio. Songbird just lied to me. But until I figured out why, I wasn't going to challenge it. Listen, since we're no longer broadcasting for the Peanut Gallery, could you tell me your real name?
It's Elizabeth. Elizabeth DeWitt.
I smiled. You have no idea how pleased I am to meet you, Miss Elizabeth DeWitt. I waited for her to respond, but all I got was silence. Elizabeth?
You have no idea how long it's been since I've heard someone else say my name, Mark.
Look, I'm still working on ways to get to you. How'd you get there in the first place?
Sander Cohen. He runs Fort Frolic.
Fort Frolic?
It's the primary place for entertainment and recreational shopping in Rapture. Theaters, clubs, shops, gambling establishments, even the infamous Eve's Garden.
Dare I ask?
It's a place where attractive women remove their clothes in front of others for money, for starters.
Ah, one of those places. Got it. Okay, what can you tell me about this Sander Cohen?
He's unstable.
That doesn't exactly narrow things down around here, Elizabeth.
I think he was that way long before he started splicing.
Beautiful. Listen, Elizabeth, I really hate to cut this short, but I need to figure out how to get the plants in Arcadia from getting wiped out. If I can help Langford, we can raise the flock down and I can get to Fort Frolic, find a way to get to you, and then, well, we'll figure out something. More silence. This was not boding well. Finally, I heard her say,
"Good luck, Mark."
"You too, Elizabeth. I'll talk to you again soon." I switched channels. There was someone else I needed to talk to. "Doc Tenenbaum, you still out there?"
"I am here, Herr Jacobs."
"I made it to the farmer's market, and I'd really like it if you start using my first name. Wouldn't mind knowing yours, as a matter of fact. Now, how many little sisters are here in this area?
Three. How are you faring, Mark?
The note of concern in her voice was reassuring, even though I had doubts about how genuine it was. Shot up, but not shot down. Listen, Doc, there's something up with these plasmids. I got that electrobolt a while back, and it worked like gangbusters, but now it's feeling like it's at half strength. I had to buy an upgrade just to get it back to what felt like normal, or whatever passes for it. These things designed for diminishing returns?
Nein. Even in later stages of cellular breakdown, the plasmids themselves worked at same levels as when first administered. Perhaps there is some unknown genetic factor affecting them. I shall look into this for you. It is least I could do.
What do you need from me?
Blood sample, however small, will suffice.
I took one of the vials from the medical kits, took a syringe, and drew some blood. Nice change, taking something out of my body instead of forcing it in. I wadded up some used gauze and wrapped the vial in it, then put it into one of the med pack tins and taped it shut. There's a pneumo nearby. Will it get to you if I send it that way?
Yeah.
I sent it on. Incoming.
Danke.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got to go get some air.
To be continued in part 5.